Triple M Rocks Sunday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017.
It's a try!
Oh! Run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M network. For Bryden's lawyers, protecting your future. Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon.
It's what rugby league's all about. Go!
Triple M rocks the footy.
This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
Welcome back to Origin.
The greatest Origin moment I've seen is when Mark Guy stood up to the King, Wally Lewis, and went face to face with him.
And Guy went in with a banging left arm.
Just sits with me to this day.
Lewis again says something to Guy. They push and shout.
Something that was a big moment in New South Wales history.
So we go back to the magistrate.
One of the big moments that stands out for me during my Origin career.
So there's the kickoff.
I kicked off one time and I put it that high.
The Blues from left to right.
And by the time Shane Webke caught the ball and looked up and charged, Danny Medeiros hit him in his own in goal.
And what a chase on the kickoff. Webke is heaven.
And it set the tone for the whole Origin series.
The greatest Origin moment for me was 1994.
Langer gets it away.
The Mark Horne try.
Here's the big fella.
I guess my favourite moments, one is the miracle try, scored by Mark Coyne. How could you forget it?
Coyne goes for the corner.
Queensland, you know, were gone. They were dead and buried.
Queensland.
There's this thing about Queensland, they never give up.
I think it was 11 sets of hands.
Steve Ranoff, Mick Hancock involved in it, big legend Mel Meninga was there, and then obviously Mark Coyne in the corner.
And it was something that I personally will never forget.
Queensland, it's a miracle.
Oh yeah.
But you know what, that's the Queensland spirit.
The greatest Origin moment that I've ever seen was in the opening game in 1980.
Beetson.
The big great man Arthur Beetson running out at the tender age of 35.
Beetson.
That was the day that Origin was alive.
Beetson switches, goes on his own.
Arthur Beetson, he actually punched one of his own players in Mick Cronin, who they were Parramatta mates, and my old man looked at me and said, "This game's for real."
The best moment that I've ever witnessed, Billy Slater's chip Henry Gather.
Slater down the ground. He kicks again. He'll get there.
The Slater regather and the kick again and the regather and another try.
Amazing. Darren Lockie puts a little grubber through. He picks it up.
He'll get there. He's over.
But it was absolutely memorable.
He outscored.
What a moment. As a kid growing up, you just dreamt of a moment like that, and he does it on the biggest stage.
Greatest Origin moment I've seen, I went down to a game in 1991 when Michael O'Connor had the conversion from the sideline in the wet to win New South Wales the game.
2 from 3 for Michael O'Connor.
I was sitting right behind Michael O'Connor in the pouring rain.
He's 3 metres in, he's 20 metres out.
It's the first time I'd ever experienced Origin live. And the moment he hit it, you knew it was going over and the crowd just went nuts.
Gets it away nicely.
Converts, and it was one of the best Origin moments I've ever experienced.
Michael O'Connor has won the second State of Origin for New South Wales.
It was a moment I'll never forget.
And now a tribute to the State of Origin. Of course, we are your State of Origin network. Triple M Radio Network will be live Wednesday at ANZ Stadium. Dan Ganane will lead the professional and best call team, so make sure you get on Triple M Wednesday night for your Origin call. And we'll have, just speaking of Origin, let's do a little bit of Origin talk now. Thanks to Aveco Trucks, strong by nature, aveco.com.au, New South Wales and Queensland. New South Wales, of course, Ryan, unchanged for game 2. But Queensland, we see, obviously, the return of Jonathan Thurston, Billy Slater. Now, all of a sudden, Slater and Thurston and Cameron Smith. It has a familiar ring to it. And I can't help but think New South Wales rugby league supporters have just gone off too early with this one. I just can't help but think we've just gone off too early with the bragging.
Well, you can only win the first one and enjoy it. That's all you can do, Maroon. And I think that's what Origin's about on and off the field. The players, yeah, right. They need to enjoy it to a degree. And I think
it's a long party.
The ex-players do. And
it's a real long party.
And it's been a while. So, I think that we should have... We should have enjoyed that one, and you spoke about the players coming back in game 2. Don't worry, there's a lot of cockiness about Queensland at the moment as well, and they've got their special four.
We've lost the last 2 games in a row.
Special four back together, and I think we just need to make sure that they don't get opportunities.
It's been since 1987. I saw that in paper today. Very interesting. Since Queensland lost game 1 in Queensland, and were able to save the series.
Wow.
87, 30 years.
30 years.
It sort of reminds me when it was really bad weather here in Queensland, had their preparation, I think, on the Central Coast, and it was really poor weather there, and they didn't get the training runs. And I think Queensland have never won a game, or like it was a long time, it was like over 10 years, or it might have been this stadium when it's called Telstra Stadium, that they'd never had a series and won two games here to win one. So, you know, they get broken.
All right, well...
Yeah. They get broken.
That's, yep. I don't know what you're talking about, but I agree.
Gordon, let me ask you, Gordon.
That's when Darren, I think it was when we started the run.
How did Queensland win this one? What do they do? What do they do different, considering, of course, that Thurston's in the side, Slater's in the side, it's the old firm back together?
Well, we got to play better in the forwards. Our forwards have been outplayed in the last two games. There's, you know, there was no Matt Scott, and we've made some changes, and whether you agree with them or not, but Aiden Guerra and Lilyman and Thaiday and all those guys that didn't do the job in game one, and we've coming off two losses, and the New South Wales forward pack was brilliant in game one. They were fast, they were energetic, they played the ball, they beat us to the punch, and Queensland got outplayed. No matter how good your back line is, the big games are won in the forwards, and your back's determined by how much you win them by, and we just haven't dominated that middle part of the field in the last two games. So that's a real big challenge for Queensland and this young Dylan Napa and all these guys, to make sure that, you know, we stop for Feeder and Cordner and Jackson and all these guys around the middle of the ruck, and Frizzell. And
Gordy, do you like, obviously you spoke about the changes, do you like the fact that Wallace comes in and Parley goes back to the bench?
Yeah, look I think we need punch, and obviously, you know, New South Wales have, you know, like their back row is unbelievable, and they got so much depth in their forward pack, and like we just don't have as much as what New South Wales have. So I like their side.
Here we go. Poor
no, well we don't. So, and we never have. But the fact of the matter is that we've been outplayed, and all those guys. And I don't like to say that Sam Thaiday and Nate Miles and those guys have been dropped, because they played nearly 30 games of State of Origin. So they're not playing one game and getting dropped. Like they've given, you know, the state an amazing service, and they've done a tremendous job. But, I'm not...
But they were dropped.
The other thing about Papali, though, he comes off the bench. I actually think it's a good selection having him on the bench, because he comes on and maintains the momentum. One of the tricks that everybody's figured out with the bench is you can't have a bench that comes on and is not up to your starting side, because all the momentum goes out of what you're doing. So you need guys who can come on who, in any... Yeah, fair terms, probably should be starters. Yeah. And that's what Papali is. He's a legitimate,
I think he's an impact
starter.
Yeah, he's an 80-minute player at club level, but I think he's an impact player when he gets to Origin. And you've got someone like Dylan Napa that is just such a big body and can make a huge impact. But when he comes off, we don't have someone to replace him. Well, I think Big Papa can come in and replace him now. And you get someone like Jared Wallace that has played 80 minutes on a few occasions. And there's not too many front rowers in the game that can play 80 minutes. He played 80 minutes against the Broncos and made close to 300 metres and 26 hit-ups. So so then there's a guy that you would think that probably would equate to 60-odd minutes in an Origin. So if he gets out 25 to 30 minutes in his first stint, it's fair to say that he might have a break and maybe finish the last 20 or 30.
What sort of influence, Gordy, you know, when you're in the warm-up and preparation, and you're sitting in the dressing rooms before Origin, especially as a young guy, you look around for the people that you're about to go out on the field with in this big occasion, because you understand the enormity of it. And how comforting is it to have guys like Thurston and Slater for those young guys that in game one probably looked around that sheds and saw maybe Smith and Thaiday, but to have those experienced absolute superstars next to them in the sheds, how important is that?
Oh, well, it's important. I played with a bloke by the name of Alan Langer, so I knew that if we gave him an opportunity and if they needed to get points, where you knew that he would create something. And when you kicked it over our head, I knew that, you know, that Darren Lockyer was there to catch the ball and bring the ball back. So, you know, have Billy Slater and Thurston back, well, you know, you could only imagine, you know, that's the way I felt as well. And he's going to link with someone like a Valentine Holmes, which is young, and I thought that he would have played last year, but, you know, they all broke the curfew and Kevy made a tough stance that we all agreed with. Well, now he gets his chance at this level. He's played for Australia and he's won a grand final. So now it's time for him to, you know, show his wares in this arena.
Part of the, part of the New South Wales dominance in game one through the forwards was the fact that we had guys that were willing and able to offload. Who offloads? Who gets that job done? Do you need to change the way in which you approach, not just to go forward, but creating second phase play in game two?
Well, in game one, New South Wales dominated the field position so much. I sat probably on the 40-metre line. Queensland didn't kick past me. Oh, once, and a kick for a try when Corey Oates, when Cooper Cronk. So, like, they were coming out of their, coming off their try line all night. So it's really hard to come and, you know, pop an offload in the 30-metre mark because you play your percentages. So there's no doubt that Napa and Papali and all of those guys have an offload in them, but it's obviously where and when. And, you know, Gavin Cooper's got an offload and Gillo's got a good offload in him, but it's obviously we got to get ourselves in that good ball position and get a repeat set of six and, you know, go up against a tired New South Wales defensive line where they, you know, where their technique might weaken, you know, for a moment, and you're, and then you're in charge of the tackle and the contact and you can get an offload. But until that happens, you know, you've got to control the footy and get a repeat set. And Queensland didn't get enough of those in game one.
All right. Now, boys, just on the coaches, I was just listening to the Grill Team in Sydney through the week.
Were you?
And Yes, I was. Listened to Triple M Grill Team. I've got a long association with the Triple M Radio Network.
Of course.
And I heard the boys talking about the possibility. Well, it's, and I know how quickly it can change. Don't worry about that, Ryan. I know how quickly it can change. Yeah.
Jeez, I wish you'd go get changed.
Not that I'm bitter. Listen, they talked about the possibility of Kevvy Walters and what might happen there if Queensland don't win the series. Do you think that...
That was a rubbish article.
Yeah, go on.
No, that was a rubbish article. He's going into his second series and it's...
Who wrote that article, Gordon?
I have no idea, but I do know. And it's just a rubbish article. And, you know, I think it's unfair on Laurie Daly that's come up against probably one of the greatest ever Queensland sides. He's done the tough yards. I don't care who was coaching New South Wales. It would have been hard to coach against this Queensland side. And Kevvy Walters is doing a fantastic job. And I just think it's unfair on those two guys to be under pressure, you know... Wait till after the dust has settled and, you know, get all the reports and all that, but not before the series is...
Just
you know,
clarify what the article was about.
Oh, that, you know, that Wayne Bennett will come in next year and he's going to be the saviour and all this kind of stuff. And I thought it was absolutely... it was a rubbish article, really, to be quite honest. And I don't think it's fair on Kevvy Walters, and it's not fair on all the former Origin greats that go out there and they've played for the state. But the bloke that wrote it is from New South Wales anyway.
Okay, so it was the Mole on Channel 9.
Not everything has to be a media-driven conspiracy for state against state.
Well, do you think it was a fair article? Would you write it?
That's not the point. The point
is the point.
The fact that he's from New South Wales argument. Doesn't... You know, always everything you Queenslanders do always dovetails into this conspiracy theory that the whole state's involved. All of New South Wales is involved.
It is state of origin. You do
they
want your whole state
inferior comp. They call that an inferior complex.
Yeah, yeah, it is. That it is. I know. I'm trying to talk softly to him so it doesn't upset him.
No, to Paul, he'll understand it's small man syndrome.
What? Let me just break these into the two clubs though. The two camps. Paul, if Laurie Daly is unsuccessful in this series, do you think Laurie Daly will be coaching New South Wales beyond this series?
If he's unsuccessful,
yeah.
Most likely, but I wouldn't say it's certainty.
Okay.
His contract is up after this series, and if he loses this series, he'll be 1 from 5.
Yeah.
Which no New South Wales coaches has ever survived through that. I know we talk about generational players in Queensland and all the rest of it, but the fact is he's still 1 from 5. So, and New South Wales are turning it around, and a lot of people are crediting Laurie with that. The other side to that, though, is that it's just time the players have come through.
I think if Laurie feels he's the right man for the job, I don't think it's about Laurie. I think it's about if he thinks he can get the group to a series.
It shouldn't be Laurie's decision. It should be the board's decision.
I think, I don't think even Laurie knows at this point. You know the way that he's sort of approaching this this series. I think
it's game by game. That's what people don't understand about Origin. It actually is game by game. Like, I know it's a series, Paul, but it's game one. And all you do is focus for those 10 days, it's game one. And then you go back to your club, and then when you come back in, it's game two.
We get all that, Gordon. But go and look at the history. Yeah, yeah. You blokes, for ad nauseum, have been banging on about 10 of 11. So you talk series. You can tell me it's only game one, you take game by game. But if that's the case, then never let me hear 10 of 11 again.
What is that?
We won more games. All right, so in the last 10 years, we've won more games than you.
Okay, look, guys, let me get a tip. Your score, your man of the match. Firstly, you, Paul Kent. Your tip, score, man of the match.
Queensland by 16 to 14, and man of the match will be Cameron Smith.
Okay, what about you, Gordon Tallis?
Man of the match, Jonathan Thurston.
And the tip and the score?
Queensland by 1.
All right, and what about you, Ryan?
New South Wales by 2.
Yes.
Wade Graham, man of the match.
All right, so 2 of the 3 have tipped Queensland to win game 2 of State of Origin.
Just who do you think's going to win?
I think Queensland are going to win.
Man of the match?
Man of the match, Jonathan Thurston.
We're home then.
Yes. So there we go. 3-1. I'm no expert, but the experts make it 2-1. But look, as I say, you'll get all of it right here on the Triple M network. So probably on the station you're listening to, but just to be safe, make sure you download the app now at triplem.com.au. Breaking news earlier that Cooper Cronk will accept a coaching role or has accepted a coaching role with the Melbourne Storm. And Craig Bellaby from the Melbourne Storm is about to join us to talk about that, among other things. Craig Bellaby will join us next. And there is your Origin preview, thanks to Aveco Trucks. Craig Bellaby is right to go. We'll do that next as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
The time for talk is over.
With Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon.
Oh, the bunker's getting an absolute flogging today.
Triple M rocks the footy.
Welcome back to ANZ Stadium, broadcasting live thanks to Beaumont Tiles. And what about this? Save 26% off all tiles. Got to love Beaumont's 26%. They want to do 25. I said, make it 26. Make it a bit better for Triple M listeners. And they said, righto, at Beaumont Tiles. We are broadcasting live. It's absolutely freezing at ANZ Stadium.
Righto.
Forget temperature, checking the temperature. It's bloody cold. If you're bringing the kids out here, scarves, beanies.
It's only 16 degrees, but well, with the wind chill factor, it feels like about 30.
Well, it feels like about 8 to me. It's bloody cold. Anyway, let's get some rugby league royalty onto this show. He's been coaching the Melbourne Storm since 2003. 370-plus games as a head coach. I'm talking about the great Craig Bellaby, and he joins us online. Craig Bellaby, welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL.
Thanks, guys. It's a pleasure to be on.
Mate, you would have been blowing up deluxe yesterday when you blokes looked like they were home, and then they just gave the Cowboys that last glimmer of hope in the last 4 minutes.
Yeah, it was probably the last 6 or 7 minutes we sort of lost a bit of control of it. Just need to hang on to the ball there, and we had a couple of real soft turnovers, which give the Cowboys a chance. And, you know, obviously with the Cowboys with, you know, Coote and Granville, I thought, you know, they played really well for the Cowboys last night. They put them into a winning position. So, you know, hopefully, as a team, you know, we'll learn from that. And you know, it was a pretty special night at the end. And as I said, we'll learn from that this week. But we've made sure we enjoyed the last night.
Hey, Ballyoak, it's Gordy.
Hey, Gordy, how you doing?
Good, mate. Hey, watching those young kids play the way they did last night, it might give you a chance through the Origin period to maybe give some of your big stars a rest, because, you know, they performed on a big stage last night.
Yeah, they did good. It was a good crowd there, and obviously, you know, the Cowboys are obviously, you know, good side as well. But, you know, they're missing a couple of their key players, obviously, but, you know, they're a strong defensive side, and, you know, they're pretty relentless with their attack. So it was a real, you know, real good stage for those guys to show what they've got. And as you say, you know, we've already give, you know, Cameron Cooper, you know, a game off. So it gives us a chance, you know, if we think they need it, and basically if they want to, you know, we might be able to do that. But having said that, you know, it's one swallow doesn't make a summer, and we've just got to make sure those guys keep working hard and make sure if they get their opportunity again, you know, they're willing to take it again.
You must be very proud where your guys are right at the moment in the competition.
Oh, yeah, without doubt. You know, we probably haven't played, you know, some of our great footy, especially in the, you know, the first 6 or 7 weeks, but the amount of effort, you know, the guys put in sort of made up for some of our shortcomings, you know, with our, I suppose, with our tactics and our skill and whatever, our execution. So, and I think that was a good example again last night. You know, we didn't have any ball in the first half, but we're still within, you know, 4 points, and we, you know, we probably blew a couple of good chances as well. So, just goes to show, you know, like early in the season last night, you know, I think we won the game on effort by hanging in, you know, during times when we didn't have too much footy and defending well. And then when we got the footy, you know, we were able to do something with it in that second half.
Hey, Billy Ack, Ryan Girdler, mate. How are you?
Hey, Gerd, how you doing?
Good, thank you, mate. Hey, Nate Miles signed through the week. Just let us know what the thought is behind getting big Nate down there for the back end of the season.
Yeah, well, again, there was a couple of things behind it. Number one is, you know, he's got great experience and he can play long minutes. So, you know, we lost Christian Welsh here about, you know, 4 or 5 weeks ago, you know, for the year. Jordan McLean broke his cheekbone there last week, so he's going to be out for a few weeks as well. So we're just sort of thinking, you know, Nate was there and, you know, he was keen to come down to Melbourne. So we just thought, if we get a couple more injuries in that position, you know, we're going to be a bit short. So to get a guy like him at this time of the year with his great experience, and as I said, you know, being able to play long minutes, you know, and I think he'll be a really good add to our squad. He's a really good guy off the field as well. So, you know, like I say, gives us a little bit of insurance for the front row position. But having said that, I think, yeah, he's going to be a real plus for us.
And it wasn't just to make Cameron not the oldest in the team now, make him feel a little bit younger as well.
Yeah, I think, yeah, Cameron was real cool because of Zach Gordy, I think. But, but like I say, mate, he's a good guy, so he'll fit in really well with us.
Craig, just on Cameron, a guy that plays in the middle of the ruck and does the work he does, I think in the grand final made 70-odd tackles. If you're a betting man, how many more years do you think he could play for at this level?
Yeah, it's a real hard question, Gordy, and when you think of him, he just keeps, you know, he's probably, you know, without doubt, you know, the most resilient player I've probably ever seen or certainly ever coached. And, you know, so 15 years he's been doing this, and he just seems to be able to get his, you know, himself off the ground every time and, you know, get back into it. So, you know, just looking at him, you know, you'd think he'd be able to go another 2 or 3 years if he wants. But, you know, the big thing will be, you know, with his mind, I think. Like, his body seems to be, you know, resilient and adapted to the workload that he puts himself through, I suppose, and the opposition put him through. It's just that, you know, how much he really wants to play, I think. I think that'll be the thing. If he, you know, if it all gets a little bit too hard for him mentally, well, you know, that'll be the time for him to probably finish. But there's no signs of that at the moment, and there's certainly no signs of him wilting physically. So, you know, he could go for not quite sure how long, but you think he'd still got another 2 or 3 years.
All right, Sunday Triple M NRL. If you've just joined us, the boys are speaking to Melbourne Storm coach Craig Bellamy.
Yeah, and Craig, so just on Cameron, what about yourself, mate? How much longer do you think you'll be in the business for? Because it can be a pretty stressful job at times, I would imagine. Just watching you in the box.
It was a bit stresses like that again, Gordy, but yeah, it is, you know, and it's, you know, but it's, you know, something that's, you know, I've been doing for a fair while now, so you know, I suppose, again, you know, you sort of get used to it, your body adapts to it and your mind adapts to it, so yeah, you know, it's quite refreshing, you know, to have some of these young guys come through and, you know, try and help them, you know, try to be the best they can be. That sort of helps keep you a little bit fresh. I'm not quite sure how long, to be quite honest. I've got another year to go on my contract, so just try and, you know, knuckle down each week and just get my job done, and I'll just let the rest of it look after itself.
Craig, a philosophical question. If you did leave Melbourne and went to another club, how long do you think it would take before we started to see that Melbourne style, which is your coaching style, come through in that club?
Yeah, it's a good question. Depending on sort of, I suppose, the style of players that are already at that club. It'd certainly take a little while, I'd imagine. You know, all clubs are different and, you know, in their values, I suppose, in their beliefs, and then obviously then their playing style, you know, and obviously coaches go into clubs and, you know, they overhaul the playing style completely. It's not that easy to do overnight. So, I've got certain set ideas on how, you know, I want my, you know, team to play, I suppose, and the style I want them to play, but also about what they do off the field probably is just as important as what they do on the field, because what they do off the field will be a mirror of what they do on the field. So, like I say, it really depends on, you know, the type of player and the type of person that's already in the club.
One of the beneficiaries of your coaching is Tim Glasby. Tell us how he's going to go Wednesday night.
Yeah, there's been a bit of talk about Tim, obviously, but he's just a reliable player. You know, as a coach, and, you know, obviously I played as well, and I remember sort of playing, and I used to love playing with guys that you know what you're going to get out of each week. you know, they might not be making the try scoring, you know, passes or actually scoring the tries or, you know, making real big hits all the time. But what you know they're going to do, they'll do each and every week. So they're basically really consistent. They're mentally tough and they're physically tough, and they just get out there each week and get their job done. And as a coach, I really, you know, that's all I want from my players. You know, I don't want a big difference between performances each week, because, you know, it's hard to coach and it's hard to perform if you're a player, if you're not quite sure what the player next to you is going to come up with this week, because it's tough opposition or there's easy periods in the game or whatever it is. High level of consistency and the high level of performance, and that's exactly what Tim is. He'll be there when there's a tough run need to be made. He'll be there when there's a tackle need to be made. He'll be there when his teammates need to do something. And, you know, I think that's what Queensland have recognised in Tim. And, you know, he'll get out there and his teammates will enjoy playing with him on Wednesday night, and he'll certainly get his job done.
Well, another guy that'll be there is Billy Slater. What's that mean to Queensland and obviously their preparation, Billy?
Yeah, obviously Billy gives them... you know, I suppose I'll live with experience at Origin and I'll live with experience in, you know, rugby league. And I think, you know, and last year, you know, he obviously didn't play in the series, but I know he, you know, all the players and the coach and staff were, you know, very impressed with Billy's input as, I suppose, an assistant coach. And, yeah, the help he gives, especially their outside backs and their back three, I suppose. So, you know, Billy, he's always going to tell you his opinion, and he's usually got a view on most things. But like I say, when you actually decide what you're going to do, he'll just get in line with everybody else and do what, you know, has been decided by the team. So that great experience that he brings will be very handy to him. But, you know, just how he's playing at the moment will be the thing. You know, he'll obviously add some real dash, you know, in attack. You know, and that's not the same thing against Darius, because I think they're different styles of players, but, you know, very effective at their styles. But obviously after the first game, you know, the Queensland selectors decided that, you know, they want Billy's, you know, strengths in there, and, you know, keeping some of Darius' strengths there as well. So it'll be interesting to see how they go, but one thing I know about Billy, he'll be out there competing 100%.
All right, Sunday Triple M NRL, we're speaking to Melbourne Storm coach Craig Bellamy. Ryan?
Billy, when you talk about the style of Billy Slater, obviously, you know, he's been under you pretty much his whole time at Melbourne Storm. Is that something that you help coach, the style in which Billy plays these days? It's basically revolutionised the fullback role, or is that just something that was so natural to him you let him go?
Yeah, a little bit of both, I suppose. The thing, sort of remember with Billy, it's a long time ago now, but, you know, as you say, you know, Billy started doing things with fullback that, you know, was new to what fullbacks do. And, you know, he always quite creative with his footy, in mind and body. And there's just a few times where I probably had to pull him back a little bit. He probably, you know, some of the things he wanted to do and was prepared to do was probably a little bit too... probably weren't high percentage enough for me, to be quite honest. But like I say, most of the time, you know, I've let him sort of basically do what he wants to do, because the one thing I like about Billy, you know, as I said, he's very creative, but he won't go out and do something on the field unless he's practiced it, and he's practiced it really hard, and he's practiced it with his teammates. So if it's practice at training and it works at training, well, you know, we'll give him the tick to go ahead and, you know, try it on the field. So, as I said, he's always been really creative. He's always had some really good ideas on what to do with the footy, you know, in his position and for the guys around him. So, you know, most of his ideas are good. So just let him go with it. But as long as he practiced it and, you know, it wasn't too low percentage, we just let him do his thing.
Hey, Craig, talking about practice, is there any truth to the rumour that Cooper Cronk signed on as a halves coach next year?
Not that I know of, Gordy, but I know if Cooper does, and apparently there's a story the other day, I haven't seen it, but apparently, well, I think Cooper's got a a clause in his contract when he actually retires, that he'll do a bit of part-time coaching with the Storm, and obviously that'll be with the halves. So whether he plays on, I can't imagine being an assistant coach if he plays with someone next year. But if he actually gives it away, well, yeah, you know, he'll be doing one or two days with us, and obviously that'll be with our young halfbacks.
Frank Panisi is quoted in the story saying that there's two reasons he wanted to sign you up to that, or Hooper up to that. Is what, he didn't want to play against him, and he brings so much for your halves.
Yeah, without, you know, I, again, I'm still not quite sure what Cooper's going to do next year. You know, I think, with all due respect, the longer it goes, the less likely it is that he probably will play. I'm not quite sure a club's going to have the money to pay him if, you know, he doesn't decide to play on soon. But certainly his knowledge, and not only his knowledge, but also how he actually, I suppose, relates to the young guys and his teaching skills, you know, it's going to be very handy for us with the young halves we're going to have. So if he doesn't play on, you know, he'll be a real big benefit for our club and especially our young halves.
Good on you, Craig. Thanks for your time this afternoon, mate. Best of luck for the remainder of the season.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks a lot.
Good on you, mate. Craig Bellamy joining us on Sunday Triple M NRL. Of course, he is the man behind the success of the Melbourne Storm. Sunday Triple M NRL is thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. He raised a point in there, Kenty, about, you know, when he looks at a player, he wants to know what type of person that player is going to be off the field as well as on the field. And it got me thinking, I don't know if you watched the Fox Sports coverage, Fox League coverage of the games last night, and they showed some footage of Paul Green stacking the chairs in the
after the game. Yeah.
So it got me thinking about these examples that these coaches do set for these blokes off the field as well as on.
Yeah, look, what coaches try to do is they try to set a culture within the club. I don't like the word culture, to be honest, but it's an easy fix-all that is easy to adopt from the players. What Paul Green, Mark Gasnier spoke about it after the game. He said Wayne Bennett was very good at doing it at the Broncos too. And basically it's creating an environment, and what he was doing there last night was tidying up the dressing room, that's comfortable to be in, and it shows you take pride in where you're at. It shows a little bit of self-drive and all those sorts of things that he wants his players to eventually adopt. What Craig Bellamy spoke about then with Cameron and Billy is that they are players who they drive what happens down in Melbourne, and they are accountable for everything they do. They have a culture there. They don't welcome players to the club who they don't think will fit into that culture. They don't want players there who will disrupt that culture. And every club, and the funny thing about culture, every club says they've got a good culture, even the bad ones. But the ones that do have it, you can see it. And it's driven by the small efforts. Culture is driven, essentially, it's like when you look at the Navy SEALs or the SAS, and I was watching a show on TV the other day, and the guys were going through some training for it, and what they did was they set up little hidden cameras, and the guy had to go and do 50 burpees and before he moved to the next station. Now, nobody was there watching him. Guy did 49, and for whatever reason, didn't want to do the last one and just took off. Now, that is basically, it's a self-driven work ethic that Billy and Cameron, they would have done their 50. They would have done it. That's what makes them such great players, though, is that attention to detail. And that every time, Wayne Bennett famously wrote in one of his books that it's the last three steps in a 400-metre run. What he's looking at is not so much whether you run the 400 or how hard you run the 400, but what you do the last three steps, because a lot of guys will get to the end of the 400 and the last three steps they'll just relax and just coast, and some even basically jog across the line. And what he's looking for is somebody to take it to the finish line. And what that means is when you're in a game and the game is on the line like it was last night for Melbourne, they've already pushed themselves to the point that they know what it takes to go to the end. They're not going to quit on you. They're not going to say, you know what, this is too tough for me. Getting close is good enough. And that's the whole point. And it all starts with little efforts and little things off the training paddock, like stacking the chairs last night. It shows Paul Green's players, he takes pride in their environment.
And Craig Bellamy's by far probably the fittest coach and the hardest working coach I've ever that I've ever heard of. I went down there once and I was staying with him, and it was the off season, and I was waiting for like dinner and a couple of beers. He gets back in at 8:30 and he was watching video in the preseason.
Yeah.
Like then he comes back, and I don't think that there's a coach that turns over as many stones as he does to get the results that he does. And like there's no doubt, and like when he was at the Broncos, like I've never seen a guy that trained harder in his retirement than Craig Bellamy, and it's rubbed off on all these guys. And you know, you can go there and you can do whatever you want, but if you play under Craig Bellamy, there's no doubt you will reach the potential that you were born with.
All right, Sunday Triple M NRL is thanks to Bryden's Lawyers.
Why are you looking at me like for?
That was beautiful.
I was just thinking about my coach at the Waterloo Waratahs, Ron McGuinness.
and similar man. Similar man?
A similar man, Ronnie McGuinness.
Yeah.
You know, we had to play Zetlin in the K grade grand final. He made us come to training Thursday and Friday afternoon. A Greek bloke in our team, his Yaya died, his grandmother. He still made him come to training.
Yeah, so
and
that's what it takes.
That's what it takes.
That's why he won.
Did you win the grand final?
No, we lost. We lost 3-0.
But if you hadn't turned
3-0.
Up Friday...
3-0, you're not playing soccer.
No, but he's 3 points of try back then.
3 point tries back then.
Oh, so one try in the whole game.
We
that
wouldn't
would
have
been
lost. Hey, we wouldn't have lost. But
hey, I tell you, you would have lost by more if you hadn't turned up that Friday.
I know, mate. But if I wasn't playing fullback, this bloke Darren Giannini, he went straight past me.
Giannini?
Darren Giannini went straight past me.
Is that Darren Giannini?
No, Darren Giannini.
Okay.
Straight by me, I was like a turnstile. He just went straight by.
Any relation to Dan?
I don't know about
Giannini.
All right, Sunday Triple M NRL. It's thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. We're broadcasting live for Beaumont Tiles. Save 26% off all tiles. You heard right, 26%, not your standard 25. 26% off all tiles. You've got to love Beaumont's. State of Origin, more to come. Origin lovers, we got the great Gavin Cooper and the great Tyson Frizzell. They'll both talk to us after two as we continue our Origin preview thanks to Aveco, Strong by Nature, Ryan Girdler, Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, Anthony Maroon, as Triple M rocks the footy.
Never miss a minute of the footy. Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. For Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
Put your clothes on, Gerd. It's not over yet.
With Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon. Triple M rocks the footy.
Welcome back to ANZ Stadium, broadcasting live for Beaumont Tiles, and a massive crowd here already, just absolutely people. See your faces there. They're swarming in, but if you're heading out to ANZ Stadium today, make sure you've got a nice warm jumper, some scarves, some beanies.
Yeah,
it's
but it's
bloody
not
cold.
Yeah, but it's not raining, and it doesn't look like raining.
No, but it's cold. It's very, very cold.
Oh,
wow. So just having said all that, Super Saturday yesterday, the winners were Cronulla over the Tigers, and then Melbourne Storm over the Cowboys. Friday night, the Rabbitohs give the Titans an absolute flogging gave the Titans 14 start. You can't keep the Rabbitohs down. They beat the Tigers 34 points to 20. All thanks to Tyre Power. So if you're getting ready for the next school holidays, Tyre Power, get four selected Pirelli Cinturato tyres and get a Caltex Starcash card. Valued up to $100.
Those Pirellis are good tyres.
Oh, but these
Low profile.
Pirelli Cinturato. Cerratos, they are the grouse.
Put about 38 PSI in them and off you go.
Hey, I didn't know you'd even get that much out. 38 PSI.
34?
I like the Pirelli Cullinan.
I got 45 in the SS.
Oh, what about 28 off-road?
Okay, fair enough.
Well, I've got a Pirelli Cullinan, you know those.
Oh, have you really? Yeah. Well, you wouldn't know what tyres you got on your car. Let's talk...
Plenty of rubber, though.
Paul...
Anthony, I don't know what he meant, but I just laughed anyway.
I wanted to talk to you about the great Johnny Lewis because he's inducted into the Boxing Hall of Fame, or he's about to be. And I've only had the pleasure of meeting Johnny once or twice, but I've never known of a bloke who has such a cross-section of people he's helped with their sporting life, known for boxing, but everybody knows and respects this bloke in all walks of life and all sporting codes.
Yeah, they do. He's just a tremendous man. Very simple values, very, very much old Sydney. Johnny, I know Johnny quite well. Obviously, I read his book, and I spent a lot of time with him for during that period, but also before that, we were friends before we sat down to go through that. And he's always just been a guy who, what I love about him is he never says no. He's got one of those philosophies. You ring him up, Johnny, I need a hand. Not a problem, mate. What do you need? Doesn't even know what it is yet. He's still already agreed to help you out.
Mm.
And that's the way it is with him. And it doesn't matter who you are. People knock on his door at different times. Johnny, need a hand. What can I do for you? And if he can help you, he does. And if he can't help you, he rings somebody who thinks he thinks might be able to help you, and that's just the way it works. And over time, it's a little like a spider web of networks where he just knows everybody everywhere. And you talk to many of the old players, Blocker Roach, Ricky Stewart, those sorts of guys who went away on tours with him. He was just always there. And Bob Fulton had him as the boxing coach on the Kangaroo tours, and not really because they needed the fitness work, but there were times when Bozo, and I've spoken to Bozo about it, he would be thinking of picking a player in a game, or he'd be worried about a player after a couple of weeks away from home or whatever. And so he just called Johnny and he'd say, look, Johnny, mate, I want you to go down and do a session with Gordon Tallis. And he'd go and find Gordon Tallis and he'd say, look, I want you to go and do a session with Johnny Lewis. And the player would think it's all about training. And Johnny knew it was all about the head game, and Johnny would be doing the pads and he'd be, you okay, mate? Yeah, I'm all right. And just as through that training session, he'd have a talk, and if the player had any concerns or worries or anything wasn't quite right with him, it generally came out, and the solution came out as well. And the player thinks he walks away thinking he's just trained for an hour and done a great session, and what he's done is actually got his head right. And that's the great thing. And from a purely boxing point of view, Johnny's a trainer who teaches you the fundamentals of boxing. Boxing's a unique sport. In boxing has a lot of traditional folklorish type rules that they are done because they work. And they are things like how to punch properly, and there's a way to punch properly, and there's a way not to punch properly. We see this modern trend in combat sports at the moment, and I wrote about it yesterday, where everybody watches Floyd Mayweather on the pads with his Uncle Roger and thinks, that's how I want to do pads, because it looks so impressive. It's absolutely useless to teach you how to fight. It doesn't teach you how to punch properly. The trainer's doing most of the work with the pads. So they get to a trainer like Johnny who does it the right way and says, look, I want you to do this or whatever. And some people don't like that. They want to get the flash straight away. It's this modern culture of wanting to get to the reward before we do the hard work.
Social media fighters.
100%. And Johnny's one of those guys who just, mate, if you want to be the best, you've got to put the foundations in, and he starts you off the right way. And he's always been the same. And the people who just live and die by his words are the ones that have the greatest success.
Paul, is it fair to say that, like, and I've only watched Johnny Lewis in the ring, and mainly it was with Costa Zoo, but he cares more. To me, it comes through the television that he cares more about his fighters than most other guys that sit in the corners.
Well, Johnny,
without disrespect to any other
trainers. Johnny began training fighters when he was 18, and he was a boxer himself. He wasn't much of a boxer, to be honest, but he was a boxer himself, and there was the trainer one day just didn't turn up. And so the guy who ran the police boys club said, well, Johnny said to him, what are we going to do? We've got a big fight card on Friday night and we don't know how to train. We don't have a trainer. And the police sergeant said, you're the trainer. Because Johnny was the oldest. He was 18. So they took all these kids in a bus and they took them away, and Johnny started working the corner. Anyway, so pretty quickly he transitioned to training. And when he was 18 years old, he was at South Sydney Juniors one night, and he was a second for a trainer. So the trainer had his fighter, but he needed someone there to help with the bucket and the drink and the ice and the cuts and all the rest. So Johnny's very good at cleaning up and stopping cuts. Anyway, so this kid went out in the ring and he absolutely copped a toweling in the first round. Anyway, he came back and he had a small nick over his eye, and it wasn't a real bad nick, but it was over his eye. But the kid was terrified. He just copped a hide in the first round. He's about to get pushed out for the second. And Jimmy Carruthers was the referee. And Jimmy Carruthers came over to have a look at the cut, and he said, how's that cut? And the cut was fine. It would have taken Johnny 30 seconds to stop it bleeding and to clean it up. But Johnny looked at the look in the fighter's eyes, and he looked at Jimmy Carruthers, and he said, I don't think the cut's any good. We might have a problem. And Jimmy Carruthers looked at Johnny, knew what he meant, and walked away and said, fight's over. Anyway, after the fight, they're in the dressing room, and Irma Quillen, who was the promoter at the time, walked in blowing up. That's disgraceful. Why'd you stop the fight for? You can't make money stopping fights after one round and all the rest of it. And the trainer said, look, wasn't my fault. The referee stopped it, all the rest of it. Johnny knew what had happened. He said nothing. Anyway, later that night, he's walking out of the club. And as he's walking through South Juniors, through the poker machines, an arm reaches out and grabbed him. And it was Jimmy Carruthers. And Jimmy Carruthers is the former, he was Australia's very first world champion boxer. and he was now refereeing. And so there was a lot of respect within the boxing industry for, and a lot of reverence towards Jimmy Carruthers. And he grabbed Johnny and he said, "How old are you, mate?" And Johnny said, "I'm 18. And he said, "What you did tonight was very courageous." He said, "I haven't seen that in many trainers." He said, "That kid tonight was terrified. He didn't want to fight. And you did the right thing." And Johnny went away really confident from that moment on that he had the instinct for training. And that's what we've seen throughout his career. That's an 18-year-old kid. That was back in the 60s. He's trained that way forevermore. And we didn't hear of him until the 80s when he began to train Jeff Fenech. That's when anybody first heard of Johnny. But he started with Jeff Fenech, and he had Jeff Harding and Kostya Zou, we all know, who are all great fighters. And on and on it goes. And fighters from around the world came and wanted to train under him because they saw what he was doing with these young kids from Australia. And that's why right now, last weekend, he was inducted in the International Boxing Hall of Fame, only the fourth Australian to be ever inducted. He's behind Kostya Zou, if you call him Australian, Jeff Fenech and Les Darcy.
All right. Well, congratulations to him, mate. Is he doing much now? Does Johnny, he's still actively involved in boxing, Kenny?
He doesn't train fighters anymore. He's moved away from that. But what he does is personal training. So a lot of guys like to turn up at 6 o'clock in the morning at Erskineville Oval, and Johnny's there, and he trains them through for an hour, and I've done it with him. I've trained with him. I turned up one day to train with him, and Johnny, when you see Johnny train sometimes, you sit there, and the clock comes around and gets to 3 minutes, and if he's halfway through saying something, he'll make you keep punching until 3.5 minutes are up. Mm. And I don't train that way. If I'm doing 3 minutes, I do 3 minutes, right? So I sat there, and I was training with him one day, and I said, "Johnny, we'll do some stuff." And I got out, and I was getting my clock ready because I was going to put the clocks every 3 minutes it bipped, right? And Johnny said, what are you doing there, mate?" I said, "I'm just putting the clock on." He said, "Put it down, we won't need it." I thought, "Oh, here we go." So we got on the pads and we started to punch, and I'm counting in my head trying to think, that's got to be about a minute gone. And then it was like, that's about 2 minutes. And I think, this is about 3 minutes. I'm sure we've done 3 minutes. And then after a while, I thought, we've done more than 3 minutes. So I put the clock on. I didn't tell him I had it on. But I looked over at the clock, and we're at about 5 minutes. And I thought, this is unbelievable. I said, "Johnny, we're going to have a break soon." He said, no, mate, keep punching. And we just punched and punched and punched. My hands ended up going numb up to halfway up my forearms. We punched for 43 minutes before I said, "Johnny, I've got to have a drink." My hands were not. And he said, "Righto, mate, let's get back into it, though. Make it a quick one." I nearly died. But I've spoken to guys who have just punched continually for the whole hour. Because what he does is you do all the hard work, and as you guys know, but once you get in to do the punching unders, that's sort of your rest period, but you're still punching. And my hands just went numb on me. They were gone. I couldn't feel them.
All right. Sunday Triple M NRL, that's Paul Kent. I've got Gertie Tallis, we've got Ryan Girdler and Maroon. We do it thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. And we're broadcasting live at ANZ Stadium for Beaumont Tiles. And, of course, they've got their big sale on right now at Beaumont Tiles, where you can save 26% tradies, not 25, but 26%. And, look, a bit more Origin coming up as well after 2 o'clock, because we'll be joined by Gavin Cooper on the phone from the Queensland Origin team, and then Tyson Frizzell from New South Wales. And we'll preview this afternoon's game too, which is going to be a beauty. Parramatta and St George. We do all that thanks to Aveco. When we return, and Triple M rocks the footy.